time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, we back.
Word
another
up.
Another year. Another week. I was going to say, yeah, you know.
Another day another in week. The Black History year is what
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In your ear canal, you know what I mean? Talking that shit. How you feeling? How y'all feeling? Hope y'all feeling good. But, Muhammad, how you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling real good, man. I'm feeling optimistic. Starting a new automobile project that, you know, is off to a rocky start, but I'm very confident we're going to bring it back to a good place and put that thing, you know what I'm saying, on the road clean as soon as we get this engine work done. You know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. So I'm on that, man. Just starting a new one. Gonna do like a Land Cruiser, you know what I'm saying? And do that style, that early, late 90s, early 2000s style Land Cruiser type shit. And head bob all the way through the summer, you know what I'm saying?
Some glaciers of ice.
Yeah, glaciers of ice, shit. Fields, and you know what I'm saying? Mountains of grass, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Be on some choose your next adventure shit, you know?
Nice. Outdoorsman. Yeah.
Get outside this summer. We outside, as they say.
It is. I hear that shit. Yeah. Good digging. Oh, shit. That's fly.
So got, the Uptown Car Club, you know, it's about to kick back up. So think I'm going to try to come with something. I ain't got 10, 12 vehicles or no shit like that. So at least come with something new. You know what I mean? And see what it do. And
wow.
You know what I'm saying? Enjoy the process. I mean, it's actually fun. You know, it's a good hobby. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. At this point. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Now that I'm in it and I kind of know it and been, you know, dealing with older vehicles and shit, you know, it gives you it actually prepares you a lot more because you already think something could go wrong, so you overdo getting shit right. You see what I'm saying? So, so you know, a lot of times people concern, oh, it's like this, it's like that. But when you set your mind on it and you know what you got to do, you already know, I ain't even driving that bitch before I go to the shop. You know what I'm saying? That shit going straight to the shop. And they gonna tell me everything that need to be done. And then you decide what stuff you gonna go through first. And they'll give you the order of importance. And get that shit broke down. And then by the time you get it all the way clean, it's not a whole lot to worry about after that. It's just smooth selling. But if you focus on getting it pretty first and you don't get the engine right, then it's a lot of shit to worry about. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, you can't look at it like, you know, your everyday maintenance bill up top. You got to get your shit right first. And then, you know what I'm saying? Your shit won't give you a whole lot of troubles coming down the road. Mm-hmm. And then the first time you hear some shit, you're going to be on that shit. You're like, wait a minute. Now, this shit ain't supposed to sound like that now. And you're going to be right on top of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, that's a leak. Oh, hell nah. You taking that shit get done. Because what you find out is those little shits and them little sounds and all that shit, they add up to bigger shits. And you ignore that shit, then you got a bigger project going on. You got a bigger bill going on. Fuck around, let that oil light come on, and you don't address that shit right away. You fuck around and be getting a whole new engine. You know? So when you're dealing with that type of stuff, it keeps you so focused on it that you don't let it get out of control at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So you enjoy the process, it sounds like.
Yeah, enjoy the process. I enjoy the finished product. You enjoy getting some shit to a point where that shit clean. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't argue with clean. I don't give a fuck how old that motherfucker is. These motherfuckers step in that bitch and it look new and it sound quiet. You know what I'm saying? I ain't even think about it. I pulled up to a spot one time in Merlot. And nigga was saying something. I had to roll the window down. I rolled the window down. He was like, nigga, I can't even hear this motherfucker, man. And I ain't think about that shit. But yeah, like, right. you get your shit right, your shit running, mm-hmm. your shit purring, mm-hmm. that shit just doing what it's supposed to do, you know?
Right.
So
yeah,
that's the best part of it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Once you got it right.
That's fire. That's fire. So let me ask you this. Okay. So the process, you say you can't wait for it to be done.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, is that where you name it, or do you have a name already?
No, I don't have a name for this one yet. Okay. I don't have a name for it yet.
Okay.
I think with Merlot, it took a little. I was riding in it before I gave it a name.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I was okay.
Go ahead.
My question is, so right now, I guess it's still in process, right? So you kind of have the intention. You know what you want to do with it. You uh-huh. kind of, you see where it's going to land.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to know, and I guess one is, you know, to be named. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what is the differentiation? Like when you wake up in the morning, what is the Merlot mood? Activity mm-hmm. versus the new Land Cruiser mood. Like, what are you uh-huh. saying?
Okay.
You're reading the clouds. You know what I'm saying? you feeling the universe talking to you, tapping into the antenna. What's the indication? What do you use to make your decision?
Well, right now, I don't know yet, because I ain't got it all the way ready. It ain't all the way smooth, so I don't know what mm-hmm. the day-to-day process will be. But mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to bounce around more in the truck on some everyday shit, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, than I would in Merlot. I'm keeping Merlot good for the Saturday morning drives, you know what I'm saying, Sunday morning drives. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The shit where it ain't a whole lot of traffic going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you get outside, you just gonna get some space and just go. That's right. Merlot. You know what I'm saying? The more you drive Merlot in these tight conditions, you start to realize anything could go wrong. You know what I'm saying? At mm-hmm. any time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that 86 body shit ain't easy to just come by. You know what I mean? So I think I'm gonna keep Merlot in a position where it's moving around in the early quiet moments of the day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm,
quiet okay. moments of the night. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Good Saturdays. You know what I mean? Shit like that. This mm-hmm. is a little more durable. A little more. You could. You know what I'm saying? You could put way more miles on the Toyota. You know what I'm saying? You could put 500,000 miles on these motherfuckers, man. So just day to day bounce around. I'm really more excited about the summer in this motherfucker right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, now what can I? Okay, if I'm choosing my adventure today, what can I do? You know what I'm saying? What mm-hmm. shit? I could put the Yeti in the bag and, you know what I'm saying, go pop some bottles on the grass somewhere. You know what I mean? And yeah. have a good time just on some old shit you want to do. I wouldn't pull Muller up in the goddamn wilderness.
Right. Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
maybe I embrace a little more of the adventurous side of life. I'm not finna mm-hmm. do a whole lot of mudding and no shit like that. But
right,
I'm a more cosmopolitan ass player.
Right. Little polo outdoorsman.
Right.
That's what I've been thinking. Yeah. I can see that aesthetic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you ain't gotta be out in the mud looking crazy.
Yeah.
That's extreme.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, a little off road flavor.
A little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Give me a nice little polo fit bucket mm-hmm. hat. You know what I'm talking about?
Nice. Nice. Okay.
What you say? Looking like Raekwon?
Looking like, you know what I mean? Living like Raekwon. You know what I mean? Glaciers of Ice. We out here. Oh, shit. That's fire, though. Word. Salute, man.
But
salute.
The original inspiration mm-hmm. was Busta Rhymes. And Busta Rhymes on Hoo Ha video, when they start off in the middle of Times Square, he and the motherfucking right, Land Cruiser. And they playing mm-hmm. one of them old head nod songs. And they and that mm-hmm. bitch just rocking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I was driving in the truck, and I thought about that shit, and I could just envision, I envision a certain truck, certain color, and I ended up finding one just like that. So that was the original, that Busta Rhymes was the original inspiration.
Right. You said you was rocking your 70s Afrobeat playlist too, and it was a particular record. You remember what record it was?
Yeah, I do. I think it's called African Message. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm about to tell you exactly which one it was.
Uh-huh.
But, you know what I'm saying? If you want the inspiration of the playlist inspiration, it was... But yeah, it's I think it's Ebo Taylor. No, it's Tony Allen. African Message by Tony Allen.
Okay. Tony Allen. OG.
Yeah. This is the original Afrobeats, not the new Afrobeats, the 70s. Right. 70s version.
Yeah. Got it. That's fire. That's what's up. Sounds great, man. Yeah.
That's a good little project for the summer. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Think it should be cool, you know what I'm saying, to give, you know, let Merlot stay off the road a little bit and sit up in the garage or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just come out when it's time.
Yeah. That sounds cool, man. Sounds cool. You know, I've been copping whips recently. You know, I've been copping a few whips. Nah, but you know, I told y'all a while back, you know, I was fucking around with this little, the Hot Wheels shit, right? Mm-hmm. Just as a like little hobby type of thing. It's kind of a thing when I go outside or if I'm on the road or something like that. You know, I'll be honest with you, this Target and this Target boycott has kind of been cramping my style because they would have a nice little assortment. But, you know, there's still various places and I go pick up shit. And nothing crazy, not OD, but just here and there. But, you know, I think last I talked about it, what I realized, it is a culture in itself. Like anything else, it is a culture. It's so interesting. I wound up going on YouTube. And, I mean, when I tell you there is a community out there, you know what I'm saying? And different than what you would think. There's some brothers out there, you know what I'm saying? Like some people where you're like, oh, okay, all right, representation. Okay, we out here. Diversity, because I don't, you know, it just sounds wild, but it's very interesting. Just like the culture of it. There's this thing, you know. I guess there's people that, you know, they'll cop and flip like anything else. But in the diecast community, it's one of the names they call it, the diecast community. In the diecast community, they look down on that. They call them scalpers. You know what I'm saying? They don't mess with the scalpers. You know what I mean? But people are out there scalping, but it depends. Like, there's some people that are like staunchly against it. It's just like, it's funny. It's just like any other culture and any other community, that there's the extreme people, the real purist people that can kind of be oppressive about the enjoyment of it all. It's like, you got to have these are the rules of it all. And sometimes when you just come in into some shit just to enjoy, just to have some fun with it, you're not trying to be leaned on. You know what I mean? I don't need no referee for leisure. You know what I mean? So, I don't really pay too much attention to all of that, but I peep what's going on. And then I just, you know, you peep, but like, there's storytelling behind some of these models, or they call them casts, these little these castings. So this one, they did this, they did a thing with this, or now I guess Hot Wheels for a hot second wasn't working with Ferrari for a minute. Now they back with Ferrari. Like, it's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself like collecting certain things. Like, I like getting like Benzes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this new little Benz that came out in this. Oh, and it's like cases. That's the other thing. So like, there's so many that come out over the year that they have them like cases, but the cases are alphabetized. So it's like A case. A case came out around like January. I think now they up to like F case or whatever like that. And then if you go through the YouTube people, I don't really like to look at it, but like people be like, this is what's going on in the F case. I just did a, you know, the F case haul and blah, blah, blah. And they show you what's out there. I don't like that. I like the discovery of it all. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then there's other shit where it's like they got these treasure cars or super treasures. I never came across any of these, but they're like certain cars, like they got what they got, the main lines, the regular joints, but then they got what they call the super treasures, which mm-hmm. are like one maybe in a case. A case might have 72 in there. That's another thing you'll see on the on these videos. People like might do a video where they crack a whole case and they go through what they got. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Almost reminds me of like baseball cards and shit.
Right.
But anyway, so they'll crack. So the treasure is like high end paint, you know, rubber wheels. They got like a little, like a little icon on it, look like a T, and people go crazy for them. And those resell or be scalped a little bit for a little bit more. But again, the other thing about this scalper shit is you're not getting much money. Like, motherfuckers is not getting rich off of this shit. It's still very much like people just doing it because they like it. Like, you might sell, because the cars are like $1.25 at the high end. You know, and it's funny because people been talking about the tariffs and how that's going to impact. You know what I mean? Like, it's a world, Pop. It's a world. It's so funny,
the
man.
Tariff on the shout dollar. Out.
Hell yeah, the niggas is like, this shit could go up to 150. You know what I mean? Niggas feel away. They play at 120. They feel away. They say they gotta figure it out. You know, but yeah. So you see that. You'll see certain cars going for like maybe 10, 30, 40. There's some cars that go for crazy. Like they are very, it's not a big thing, but there's like these certain cars that are going for like up to like $500,000. Mm. But that's like from the 60s, and it's like very rare, and those are already kind of, you know, like procured by collectors or whatever. But it's just a fun little thing. It's very interesting. I've been, you know, here and there. I got a few pickups that I haven't even cracked open yet. Mm-hmm. But it's been some interesting shit, man. Shout out to, I think my man's called Hotline, the Diecast Hotline or something like that on YouTube. Black Cat, older Black Cat, that be, you know what I mean, doing the knowledge and shit like that. So mm-hmm. yeah, man. I think I know I came across a Benz recently. I've been tucking those away. I came across a couple few pieces. No Land Cruisers, but I'm sure they got a Land Cruiser out there. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's just some fun shit.
Yeah, Land Cruiser got their own world too. I'm new to it. Uh-huh. I ain't been in the Toyota world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they got a whole culture too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it's cool. This Japanese, so you know what I'm saying? They got a Japanese version of the shit. It's all kind of shit right. going on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, nah. It's the same shit. They got Japanese versions of the Hot Wheels. The J-Packs. This shit is wild, dog. It's crazy how it's crazy. But yeah, so that's what's up, dog. But yeah, man. I just came back. I'm feeling good, man. I just came back from seeing Sinners mm-hmm. earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I know you about to go check it out tonight, so we ain't gonna get too crazy and spoilers and no shit like that. But I enjoyed it. I'll say this. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I saw it on IMAX, which I was telling you, I think, you know, that was part of the whole reason I said a couple of episodes ago when hearing Coogler just talk about what his vision was for it and why he was deliberate about some of the choices he made. That was really what sold me on the going to see the movie more than, like I said before, the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and yeah, that shit is. I'm gonna tell you like this. I ain't even never seen the trailer.
Yeah, nah, yeah.
I haven't seen the trailer. I don't know what the motherfucker about. I'm just going to see it.
Going in blind. That's beautiful. Yeah. Cause to that point, I do feel, well, first off, in IMAX, that shit is beautiful. It's just, you know, I guess it's basically like a large format camera. You know, it's exactly what it is. Just a video camera, a large format. So it's just like the whole movie plays like large format photography in the IMAX shit, right? Mm-hmm. So shit is well shot, lit beautifully, you know. I think it's DPs and her name is Autumn something, but like they've worked together before, but like shit is fire. And okay, so went to the IMAX. I want to, because you said something about, to that point, I will go back. To that point about you just going, right? This, I went to the IMAX theater today, right, to go see it over the one Lincoln, the Lincoln Square joint. And that shit big, like it's stadium seat and it's a big ass room. First of all, when I tell you I haven't been to a movie with this many people in the movies, probably since, maybe since Black Panther, now that I'm thinking about it, which is crazy to show my man's like track record, but like an event film, you know? Like I know Barbenheimer passed or whatever, but I didn't see either of those in the theater. I saw, you know, I see a lot of these kind of, I guess, you know, I like to go typically in the middle of the day on a Tuesday, which I did today. Went to the IMAX middle of the day on a Tuesday. When I tell you that shit was jammed.
Damn.
That shit was like a graduation. Like that shit, it was so crazy because as I'm leaving, because I was like, damn, this shit crazy. As I was leaving, somebody on the escalator behind me, these two women on the escalator behind me or in front of me, I forget, they were like, yo, where all these people? I thought, I didn't think it was going to be this many people. What, nobody got to go to work? So shit like that. It was like people working from home and taking breaks.
They working from their phone.
I tell, man, first off, it was a really nice day in New York City. So, and I always like that little area, Upper West Side. You know, I just like how that little vibe, that little, you know, how it bustles and shit. Mm-hmm. So it was popping outside. But when you went in there, like again, and I'm sitting, and I don't even, and yeah, I would say probably Black Panther, but it had been so long that I'd been to a movie that felt like the movies, like of old, you know what I mean? And to that point, like you said, you ain't see the trailer, you're going in there blind, which is what I typically like to do. I feel like, I could be wrong, but I feel like a lot of the excitement of this movie is really based on Coogler going around talking about his vision for the movie. Like really talking about like how intentional he was about it, how excited he was about it, how he's there's videos of him breaking down why he picked IMAX and explaining various film sizes and you know what I mean? Like, but it just feels like, you know, we joke about the whole cinephile situation, but he makes it so accessible to where people are like, nah, I'm buying in. I'm all in. And obviously Michael B. Jordan is a huge star and Coogler and Michael B. Jordan, they, you know what I mean? That's like Denzel and Spike, Scorsese and De Niro, Snoop and Dre. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Future and Metro. You know what I'm saying? So like they got that synergy. So they got a track record and they've been hitting. But again, like I truly, and maybe, you know, my media intake is, I guess, curated or just it ain't, you know, like everybody else. But I feel like I haven't been bombarded with a bunch of advertising. I have since maybe Thursday or beyond this Coogler run. And I say Coogler more than Michael B. Jordan. They've done a couple things, but it really seems to be like Coogler out here on his real director shit. You know what I'm saying? Black director shit. And it's been a minute since, I mean, we got Barry Jenkins. There's a lot of black directors out there, actually. I don't even want to say it
but
like
he
that.
At
you know
the,
what I'm saying?
He at the pinnacle of it right now.
I mean, I don't know. He had a billion-dollar film. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, who? You might have Antoine Fuqua, somebody like that. Who's directing that's been directing big $100 million movies and shit?
I don't know about $100 million movies, but like excitement-wise, I would say Barry Jenkins is there. Jordan Peele is there. I don't know.
What I'm saying is he's there. Ahead. He's there, but he's also did it at the highest of levels. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So it's like a lot of times you can really, a lot of people won't take them big movies because they get outside of the comfort zone. When you start talking about them hundreds of millions, that shit got to work. It ain't no motherfucking joke. It's a different kind of pressure. So for him to even like him doing the press run, and then I haven't even watched a lot of the interviews. I seen him a lot on my timeline, but I was like, I'm gonna just go see the shit. For him to even be in a place to even, you know, come out humbly and fucking speak on this shit and vision and all that shit after going to the top is different. Most people get to the top, then you don't hear from them no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll see them next $100 million movie. But I like the way he handled it, got that shit done successfully, and still going on some other shit that he, on a film that he's been passionate about for years that they kept telling him no about. So that's enough for me to just go see that shit off rip.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So, like, I was just, to my point, I was just saying, like, it just feels like, again, I could be wrong, I don't see a whole lot of the marketing. And the other thing is, you know, now I'm ready to start, like, because I was spending the weekend, like, ducking spoilers and, you know what I mean, like, bookmarking a bunch of the little think pieces and shit like that. I'm about to engage in all of that now, because I saw one thing where they were like, and I got to figure out what the story is before I get, you know, activated or whatever, but they were like, Ryan Coogler's movie could destroy Hollywood forever or whatever. So I got to figure out what that's about.
This but is about the deal that he got done for.
Okay.
Because the deal, the rights to the film revert back to him in 25 years.
Yeah. Okay. I heard that just recently. Like, it started because after the movie, I watched a little bit of the Spike Lee on 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, and he spoke to that. So I guess, okay, so that's probably what they're going to talk about. And then the other thing is, he owns that IP all the way. Like, this is, you know, it's not like fucking Black Panther, you know what I mean, or even Creed, even though he created that whole Creed script and pitched it to you know, Stallone and Erwin Winkler, but it's still
based off
spins off of Stallone. It's based off of IP. Exactly. So, yeah, man, the shit is dope. I'm ready for when you watch it. We'll talk about it probably some more next week.
Which is probably a trip. He probably got that idea from Stallone.
What? Writing your own shit? That.
Like, owning the IP of a franchise or of a thing. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know who did the deal to make the rights revert back. I don't even know if that's the first time it's been done in film. But that's like artists, you know what I'm saying, signing the deal up front to get their masters back, you know?
Yeah, it's fire. It's smart. And to that point, you know, that might be, you know, that might be real, because from what I understand, and I, you know, again, I got to read up on it, but I believe there was a bit of, particularly with like Erwin Winkler, I believe his name is, who's related to the whole Rocky franchise as well as Stallone. I think they don't get the royalties or whatever that they should get. Mm-hmm. So maybe seeing that, it's like seeing, you know, seeing an artist that you were inspired by, you know, have a bad deal, and you saying, I bet I'm overcharging for what they did to the Cold Crush. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the inspiration. So yeah, it was dope. It was a fun time. I say that it was a fun time. The movie is beautiful. Just as far as like just visually, it's well acted. He makes some bold choices in there. There's this the one moment. We'll talk about it after you see it, so we can really like delve into it and shit. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy I saw it, and it's funny because when I booked my tickets, I booked in the middle. And I tried to book where it was nobody around me, right? And I knew if this is a big deal, people going to be there. Mm-hmm. But, but sometimes not, because I've been going to Magic Johnson's, you know what I'm saying? I should be by myself. But even that, I think that shit probably cracking. Anyway, it was getting closer and closer to the time. Like, we was in fucking preview number 7. I mean, it was a billion previews. They was like, yo, we trying to get some of this bread. So it was a billion previews, right? And there were two cats near me who had nobody around them either. And the people started closing on them. And you could see them motherfuckers be like, ah. You know what I mean? Shit felt like when you're on a flight. when you just waiting for them to close the cabin door. Mm-hmm. You just like, yo, come on now. Let me see if I get, I can move my bag. And sure enough, motherfucker came from one side, sat down, whack. Then a little second, somebody else came from one side, sat down, whack. So it's just, we was all in that bitch. But I ain't gonna lie to you, the shit, like I said, it felt like the movies. It felt like old times. It was even a cat in there. There's always, you know, it becomes like a communal affair, you know, like where, you know, like when it's just, there's somebody with the real funny laugh. You know what I'm saying? Like they laugh, it's just real funny. And the stuff that they laugh at make you kind of laugh, because they, you know what I mean, the shit that make them laugh. So there's the cat with a funny laugh. Then it was this one cat, I don't know what was going on with this cat, but he's talking over like one of the craziest points, and he's talking like he's in the living room by himself. I mean, I guess those are such and such. I don't want to say no spoiler shit. So you just hear people like, yo, shut the fuck up. Yo, it was crazy. They say shut the fuck up, they trying to be polite. All right, we get it. Like it was just, we was in that shit together, you know. And you know, post pandemic and even prior to it, and especially as siloed as the country is, there are moments when you feel like y'all are all in this together, or at least the feeling of it. Might not be real, but just like the collective, enjoying something in a moment as a collective, those moments are few and far between now. You know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, that shit felt good, and it did not feel like fucking 1 p.m. on a Tuesday. That shit, I swear to you, that shit felt like a Friday night. Like, we went outside, the shit, you know how you be kind of thrown off when you coming back from the day party fucking 11 p.m. drunk and it's 6 p.m.? You like, damn, nigga, this shit, the fuck is going on? It's kids out here.
Right.
That's how I felt. Like, I was this shit was... Yeah, where are your parents at? Why is you out? They like, sir, it's 6 p.m. You know, oh, damn, I'm drunk than a motherfucker. It felt like that, man. It was a moment, dog. That shit felt cool. That shit felt like, it felt like the kickoff, like we about to change seasons. You know what I'm saying? Easter was also one of them days. I ain't go out like that too crazy. I just walked around a little bit, but like, I was thinking about, I know like Memorial Day gets a lot of credit for kicking off the summer, you know what I mean, as well. But like Easter's one of them days too. Easter Sunday, it's not the summer, but it kicks that spring off. Like it's a catalyst day, you know what I mean? Like, and it, obviously it's 420 and Easter Sunday on the same day. So, but yeah, it's just, you could start to feel, particularly here in New York, like you could start to feel like the city awakened from the slumber. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's shit. Yeah, like you could feel the shit fucking getting up, stretching his arms and shit. Like, all right, we about to do this. We about to do this. About to get nice outside. Let's go. It felt good. So, yeah, man. Shout out to Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan. They got one. I heard it already got like 60 million already in a few days. So,
yeah.
You know.
I don't even know what the budget was tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I couldn't get no tickets. Sure. Like, all the tickets were sold, not sold out, but like, you know, front row seats available. Like,
right.
Yeah. Watch a 70 millimeter from the front row.
You'll break my neck.
That's crazy.
Hell yeah.
So. That's what's up. So yeah. We'll talk about it. I'm gonna go see that thing tonight. And
sure.
Yeah. Shit. I was you know how we discovering people on Instagram and shit. Not that you discovered them, but they've been there, but they first hit your algorithm.
Yeah.
I had this one guy hit my algorithm, I would say 48 hours ago. You know what I'm saying? And it was like a little skit. You know what I'm saying? He be playing all the roles. He play all the characters and shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's some very down to earth ass content. It's not overthought out. It's like characters around the hood, you know, but nobody acts them out. You know what I'm saying? So he got like the hood dude that's kind of like a, you know what I'm saying, halfway drug dealer, halfway getting, halfway working a job type dude. But he always carry around money. That's his whole thing. Then he got his homeboy who be with him named Switch, who always got on the poo shiesty. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Then he got a junkie who always be around because he buy from him. And then he, I guess when I came in, they was just introducing, Switch got a little cousin that's kind of like maybe autistic or, you know what I'm saying, can't get right as as the way they describe him. And and he plays all the roles. You know what I'm saying?
And okay. What's his name?
His name is standby. His name is Wild Wayne 87. Wild underscore Wayne 87. And the trip shit is 48 hours ago, I saw that shit. I went to his page. I'm like, damn, you know how you feel like a nigga deserve a follow? A nigga earned the follow. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh yeah, this nigga earned that. I went, followed the nigga. Nigga had about 130,000 followers when I 48 hours ago. Today he made a post say he hit 200,000. Now he had motherfucker 213 just from today.
Wow.
So he so something is cracking. And it's always interesting because I didn't see him before, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm just I'm just getting up to him, but I'm watching him blow in real fucking time. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's crazy when you catch it like that because, you know, a lot of times you don't see it till they already got a million followers or some shit. Or, you know what I mean? Right. You don't really know how it started. But to catch it right in the middle is some weird shit sometimes because, I used to pride myself on knowing the new shit and where the new shit at. But new shit comes so fast nowadays, you don't often, you don't get to catch it new. Catch it new to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when I saw it, I'm like, yo, this nigga on to something. But then you start to really see, oh yeah, this nigga on to something. You know what I mean? And I don't really know what to say about that, except for the fact that it's just very interesting watching this generation of content creators and shit like that. Explore the field first, like the way they doing this shit. You know what I'm saying? Because like, say you got Country Wayne, right? He doing his skits and all that, blah blah blah. This cat, you know, man, and people do those skits where they play different characters, but this nigga doing about 3, 4, 5 motherfuckers in one fucking sitting. So he putting the time in to shoot this shit, and the shit is seamless. So it don't look like, you know, sometimes, you know, you could, it look like nigga just turned around and spun the camera around. Like, you get lost in that shit and really be like, that's 4 different motherfuckers.
Yeah, pull you in. Yeah, you really, you sell that shit. It's like Michael B. Jordan,
right,
but on a way different level. Yeah. Nah, I get that.
Right.
That's fly.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give that man a shout out because that was a discovery I just made in the last few days that, you know what I'm saying? Actually, I was going to talk about the nigga anyway, but I seen the nigga, I see that shit blowing. I'm like, dang.
Wild Wayne 87. So do you think you know the video that blasted him out of there? Or you think it was just the people just starting to discover him?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's the one I could only, if I had to, because I ain't go back through the nigga whole list. Now he been doing these characters for a minute, but the one when they introduced the cousin is funny as shit. Cause you know, the cousin, he always be saying is hype. Hype. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's in the piece, he in there talking shit with the junkie, and then his homeboy come through with the poo shiesty on. He was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? This is my cousin right here, you know what I'm saying? He a little off, but he cool. You know what I'm saying? So his cousin come in, hype. And then everybody like, okay. So then he sit down. He was like, well, have a seat. Then he sat down real fast. He was like, damn, he kind of fast. Yeah, cuz fast. And then so he asked his homeboy, yo, you want to shoot some of these dice? You know what I'm saying? Let's see what. He's like, okay. So they went and shot dice against each other. And then the junkie and the cuz are sitting there looking at each other. know what I'm saying? And the junkie, he high. So he looking like, man, what the fuck is going on? You know what I'm saying? And then so he looked over, he was like, you straight? And then the cuz was like, hi. He was like, oh shit, okay. You know what I'm saying? He was like, shit, your cousin wanna shoot some dice? And he was like, I don't even know if my cousin shoot dice. Hey cuz, you wanna shoot some dice? Hi. He was like, yeah, that mean yeah. So he gave that nigga the dice. He just threw the dice on the wall, like just threw them. Hit a seven. You know what I'm saying? He's like, damn, and cuz winning. You know what I'm saying? He's like, right. Shit, that nigga, them dice didn't even move. You know what I'm saying? So this shit was some funny shit, man. It was just like, and it's not like that it's some elevated content. Right. It's just the fact that the way he did some very familiar characters executed in the right way for that platform. And you, when you see it happen, you see the results. I can see the results from him doing that shit. Again, I don't know where it started, but over the last 48 hours, something changed.
All right. I'm going to check this shit out. I'm going to check it out. Salute. That's what's up. That's big. Oh, man. Let me ask you a question, man. Do you think... Do you think there's a expiration date on friendships? When I say that, let me just preface it, like, in the way, like, Sky Miles are. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't, you know what I mean? If you don't use them, you'll lose them. You got about 18 months. That's Sky Miles. I'm not saying friendships that have that. But what I'm saying is, you know, I had a conversation with a friend a few years ago, and they pointed out, they were like, I don't know if that's your friend. That sounds like a colleague, you know? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. You know, like, growing up in the era of, oh, that's my mans. You know what I'm saying? Oh, nah, we cool, whatever. There are people, as I've gotten older, there's people that you know, people that you once had an active friendship with, you know. There's people that, you know, I think there's that fall, there's this, there's the philosophy, and I'm guilty of this, where it's like, yeah, man, we ain't got to speak for months, shit. Might not be years, but when we get on the phone, shit, right back to where it was. And that might be true. And I don't know if there's tiers for friends, because I don't like to tear friends off. But I do feel like because I was having this other conversation that I could have real love for people. You know what I'm saying? And these people are great friends of mine. No ill will, nothing like that. But just in the rigmarole of life, I ain't talked to this person in forever. And now in the social media era, where you could like a person's post a few times or their story a couple times and feel as though you're in touch with the person, y'all are not really connected on the same level that you may have been on. You know what I mean? And, you know, it just had me kind of thinking about just that in general, just, you know, friendship and what it is, and, you know, what's the, with the, how frequent should you engage with somebody to really hold them on the real the real friendship roster. But anyway, what's your thoughts on that?
I'm with motherfucker Houdini on this. A friend, somebody you judge for yourself. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Nigga, I was thinking Houdini, the motherfucking magician. Nah, I was like, what did Houdini say? Houdini, old school Houdini.
Friends.
Yeah, go ahead.
How many of us? And okay. Probably is, to me, one of the best written hip hop songs of all time. That's just for me. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
Not lyricism, not, you know what I'm saying, the crazy artistry of it all. It's from a way simpler time. But the song structure and the motherfucking words are so fitting to this day. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't argue with the structure of the story that they told for that song. with all that being said, friends, somebody you judge in your own way, and you understand who that person is to you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they not gonna be there every single time. But I don't judge that part of it as a quality of the friendship, whether we see each other a lot of times or haven't seen each other at all. Because it was stretches I didn't see my mama for a very long time, but I knew she still loved me and I know she was still my mama. You know what I'm saying? We still had that same relationship. When we came back together, it was the same relationship. It wasn't the same relationship as everybody else with their mama, but it was my relationship with my mother. You know what I'm saying? So with friends, I judge it the same kind of way. Like some people, you might fall off and might not have the time to talk every day, or they life get busy, or your life get busy, or y'all end up in two separate places doing two separate things. You know what I'm saying? I got a friend, this is a good friend. You know what I'm saying? I never didn't consider him a good friend at all. But at some point along the line, he became very religious, like a zealot. You know what I'm saying? Which made it hard for us to be friends at all. You know what I mean? But you put space in between it. You know what I'm saying? You do, next time y'all do talk, y'all talk about something y'all got common ground on. Or, you know what I'm saying? I think at the time he was like listening to all of like gospel rappers and shit. You know what I'm saying? Not to say this shit in the same sentence as gospel rappers, my bad. But that was a place where we intersected. We could talk about that shit. You know what I'm saying? And then he found himself in a different place in life. And then we got back to talking all the time. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, shit goes on and then we don't talk. But it don't change in the end. You know what I'm saying? So I don't judge it based off of the time spent or time hung out or time on the phone. It's some people that established a certain thing with you that ain't gonna never go away. It's some people that hold a safe deposit box key to the stories of your life that probably most people don't know about. Most people don't know these stories. Most people don't know some of the crucial shit that made you who you was. You know what I'm saying? Those people, you know what I'm saying, they might go off and do other things, but you keep those people still close in your heart, because when you do talk to them, they're going to be able to talk to you as you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be able to pour into you from your own reserves that they've collected over the years. Same as you with them. So for me, all that to say that I don't have an expiration date or a time or a length of time that things should happen before you write somebody off. You just live life. And shit will come back how it was supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Some don't come back. You know what I mean? You might want some to come back that will never come back. You might, you know what I'm saying, felt a certain way about somebody that never felt the same way about you. But it's all on the individual to judge.
I agree with a lot of that. Yeah, I agree with a whole lot of that. That's real. That's for sure. That's the deep point when you said there's certain people that could unlock, or they know certain parts of your life. Yeah. From, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's real.
I call it a safe deposit box. Like, you know what I'm saying? Some people got a key to that shit that you might need. You know what I'm saying? You might not talk to a motherfucker for years not often for years, and then come back around, you come into a season where all that information is needed. And motherfucker could tell you exactly who the fuck you is and why you started. You like, damn, I forgot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
for sure.
You only experience these things around these people. You know what I'm saying? If somebody fall out with you, or, you know what I'm saying, steal your motherfucking fortune, that's something different. I'm just saying, under normal normal circumstances.
Steal your fortune is funny as shit. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But, man.
Shit.
Yeah, nah, it's real. I agree with I agree with that. I agree with that. I think there are, like I said, I guess I feel conflicted sometimes. You know, I think also, like, and it's cliche to say, right? But, you know,
as people start dying, right? You start seeing people passing away and things of that nature, and you're like, damn, I thought, you know, I was just about to call this person. Or last time I talked to them, you look at the last time you talked to them, it might have been years. Or, you know what I mean? Or it wasn't. Or if it wasn't that long ago, it wasn't real. It was just some surface shit like that. And it can be, I don't say tempting, but easy to maybe beat yourself up over it. Or, you know what I mean? And what I find myself doing is like, I guess just as, you know, just in general, I'm trying to be a lot more active with friendships and relationships in general, just in, yeah, in general. And I think when I was younger, it was very easy to maintain certain friendships just due to the proximity of it all, whether we work together or we go to school together, or, you know what I mean? Like, we all hang out in the same kind of circles, you know? Like, I used to joke about how probably from, like, maybe high school to maybe a couple years into your work life, it was very common for motherfuckers to be, like, 10 deep. You know what I'm saying? To go to a thing 10 deep, looking like Wu-Tang Clan going to a venue. You know what I mean? Like, that shit is from a different era, a different time in my life. I don't know the last time I got, like, that used to be the move. Like, yo, we all going to form like Voltron. We going to meet up. You know what I'm saying? You know, and this is before, it's like, yo, we meeting up here at this time, and it's before you could really hit people. But everybody would come together, and it would be the shit. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's just interesting. And then I think there's this, there are these ideas of friendships that are, some people, to your point earlier, like, you know, sometimes you might think something is deeper than what it really is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and, you know, they had discovered somebody that had, like, had unfollowed them. You know what I'm saying? And people take deep offense to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit, what? I can't believe this shit. This makes sense, because last time I saw them, they was moving funny. You know what I mean? And not to make light of it, because it be real. People feel a way about it. And then we kind of did like an autopsy of the friendship. Like, so when last time y'all kicked it, or what type of, you know, what was y'all doing, or whatever, whatever. Maybe y'all were just that type of friend. Maybe it wasn't, you know what I mean? And it was kind of one of those things where you just, I guess it may hit you, or you might feel, you know, I don't know. I thought it was a friendship, you know, whatever, whatever. But it's just something that I was just kind of tossing around in my head. Well, just that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. What's that mean? You know?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man, dig into it. Dig into where you feel, how you feel. You know what I'm saying? What you willing, not willing, you know what I mean, to put into that shit. And let it be. Life gonna be from there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then don't be afraid to continue making friends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It might be a motherfucker you meet today that's gonna be your best friend.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. It could happen.
They will roll with you through the rest of this whole piece. So, you know, that's the beauty of this whole shit, is that you got the opportunity to continue going if you don't stop, you know? And a lot of people stop. Like, hey, fuck a friend. Fuck, I ain't shit. Motherfucker need to call me. They need to call me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How many parents is in the nursing home waiting on everybody to call them?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Crazy. And you know, as sad as that sounds, you know what I'm saying, it's still an opportunity for that person to pick up the motherfucking phone themselves. You know what I'm saying? Most people always think that shit one way. Niggas don't call me no more. They don't invite me no more. Nigga, when the last time you called somebody?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not the ones who ain't picking up the phone. What about somebody else? Cause the motherfucker that might be waiting to hear from your motherfucking ass. But we don't look at shit like that. We only look at what we want.
There it is.
Word up.
There you go. How about that? Shout out to Houdini.
You know what I'm saying? Now that Houdini's inside the joint.
Speaking of friends, I guess. I mean, this is a terrible transition. It's time to get to this Raising Canaan. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Did you see it? You watched it, right? You up? You did, right?
Of course.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Bad. I only watched it once. I watched it on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I watched it on Saturday, so I don't know. I might be a little foggy. Well, I think I remember for the most part.
You remember. Yeah, man, that shit started off. Unique, isn't that eating the butter pecan?
Oh, right, right, yeah.
Telling Rock how he finna fuck her world up, and then how she mm-hmm. set out to kill him. Now he coming to take all his shit back.
Right.
And you gonna watch it as I fuck you from the back and the front, and then I'm gonna kill your ass. You know what I'm saying? It's a hell of a shit to tell a motherfucker, then turn your back and walk away.
But I don't think he turned his back, because I watched that.
I watched it. He turned his back at the end.
Oh, okay. I thought he walked out backwards.
Nah, that nigga turned his back and walked away.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's bold.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm letting you know. Yeah, about to kill you. Let me ask you this. And I think they got good ass chemistry, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this season, they just hammering the point. It's starting to feel like Unique is the shit that they be writing for him being so over the top. Yeah. Like, I know he going through it. I know mm-hmm. he got a brain injury. I know he's like real, you know, aggravated easily. Right. Now they led with all of that, but mm-hmm. it just, some of that shit just seems a little like, all right. You know what I'm saying? With so many other. Yeah, yeah, it kind of stands out a little, like in a bad way. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Where you just like, all right, man, come on down. You know, because everybody else seems to be kind of, even if they do get like, their shit get a little heightened, it's played in a way. It just feel like that shit. It just feels like a guitar lick that's just like. It's like, it's a lot. It's like, all right. You know what I mean? But that's just me.
I guess they point out his determination to get back on top.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So after that, after he threatened, he told Rock what he was going to do. Now she know he alive. She trying to, you know what I'm saying? Now she know he killed her attorney, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She trying to explain. And he can't. He don't want to hear shit. Stop lying. Moving your lips.
That's another point. Yeah. Yeah. You can't tell a motherfucker that been dead shit. Hell like, let that nigga, he been saying, when you been dead, you see shit niggas ain't seen before. And if you ain't got that perspective, you cannot argue that. You like, all right, fair, that nigga playing the dead, I been dead card again. Here you go. All right, my nigga. It's like Gayle King. She done been to space. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Have you been? She hitting niggas with the, you fucking earthling ass niggas.
Degenerate.
Yeah, so. Right, nigga.
And then
So
Rock immediately goes into family battle planning. This is the Game of Thrones episode scene where you got mm-hmm. the whole family together. They discussing the plan. All they was missing was the big chessboard with the pieces.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But you know, so you got Marv in there, you got Rock, you got Lou, who's down for it, you know what I'm saying? He mm-hmm. shit, he coming out the Canaan, they coming out the famous, they coming out the juke, they gotta come mm-hmm. through me. I'm like, he all the way in, but still giving out, you know what I'm saying, nice wholesome tips along the way.
Yeah, right. So, back on all that cursing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He had the nice wholesome tips along the way. And then it was stand out in that meeting, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, Canaan, mm-hmm. of course, going back and forth with his mama. He don't want to hear shit she got to say, even though she done master planned this whole shit. She just a fuck up.
Right.
But she the only one really reading this shit, you know what I'm saying? Everybody else mm-hmm. is headstrong, going up with their head. But she the one that peeped that since Unique didn't kill her, somebody must have told him not to. You know what I'm saying? He working with somebody. Because if it was just up to him, I would have been gone already. But but nobody ain't reading it like that right now. So, you know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't got the foresight and the vision that Rock got. So,
Go
ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, they also accusing her of doing the exact opposite. Like, later on, when Marvin sit down with DeStefano, he's like, you know, women could get emotional. You know what I'm saying? And she's the one that's like, well, hold off. Let's be cool to your point. Let's be cool. And everybody else ready to get it cracking.
See,
go ahead.
Stefano just covering his tracks because they really trying to get him up out of there. That's the only reason they signed up with him. Because it's like, he, you know what I'm saying? He got rid of Sal. They can't kill him. So, but if you could soften them up, somebody to do it for me. You know what I'm saying? Like one of the families to kill him themselves. So Stefano is up under the gun. He trying to use everybody else to keep it up off of him. And that's what Marv ain't getting. You know what I'm saying? Marv ain't getting that part. That he really been
Seems like he's starting to. You don't think he's starting to get it now? Because he is like...
After he, you know what I'm saying, tried to get him to move his sister out of the way. He was like, my sister already got that job. I ain't with that shit.
Right.
So anyway, Rock is in battle planning. And then, you know, Kanan storms out with, you know, always got to have the last word. So she trying to get some, you know what I'm saying, get Juke on her side. You know, Juke all the way gone. Juke out here harder than Kanan. You know what I'm saying? Overnight. So Juke like Kanan grown. You know what I'm saying? Marv was looking like, what the fuck? He wanted to pull out his belt. You know what I'm saying? Because Marv was like, Kanan need to feel that belt. Then Juke was like, Kanan ground. Marv was stuck.
Good point.
He's like, So, it looked like the young folks have chose how they want to do it. They want to branch out, do their own thing. It's Kanan pushing for, you know what I'm saying? Kanan in business with Snaps and Pops, trying to get in business with Quan. You know, he trying to do his own thing. You know what I'm saying? And invited Juke to come along with him. You know what I'm saying? Nigga told her, like, shit, you the hardest nigga I know, Juke.
She was like, true. You know what I mean?
Show bitch ass. You know what I'm saying? Unique went back home to Pernessa. Go pick her up, you know what I'm saying, full in his full glory. You know what I'm saying? He's got his fur on, his chains on. Pop back up. There you go, baby. We getting out of here. But then he took her to the new spot. I don't know where the kid at. You know what I'm saying? She was like, but I can't.
The kid with the sitter.
They ain't had a kid for this episode. That budget, he wasn't in the budget.
Nah. We'll hang a photo. Exactly. Leave some toys on the floor.
They could not get him again. Shit.
Nah, kid is booked.
Kid has school. So anyway, he take her, you know, tell her that she can't come back to Southside because it's about to get smoky out here. You know what I'm saying? She like, but what about my mama? I got to take her to dialysis. Fuck your mama. Damn, you hate.
Yeah, man, again. Again, raging. Yeah.
Fuck my mama. Damn. You know what I'm saying? She's like, so he laid it all the way down. He had that shit went from a goddamn penthouse to a prison. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You can't leave here until I tell you can leave here. You know what I'm saying? It's just like it was before. You know what I'm saying? Do what I say and don't say shit else.
Cause I've been dead.
I've been dead. Get right. So, so Unique out here loud and wrong. Doing this thing. She tried to, you know, kind of, you know, like, I don't know if Rock did that. But he went off. Oh, you saying I'm crazy? You trying to tell me I don't know what I'm doing?
Right.
Unique was in his bag. Canyon planning his own operation. We know about that. Snaps and Pops. Rock had a parlay with Snaps and Pops. Mm-hmm. They good for staying out of people's business, even though it be their business a little bit. But yeah, they good at pushing it back on you. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds like a you problem. Because we in business. We in business with Canaan. Right. That's you. Like, okay. So she had to leave out like a, you know what I'm saying? That was a disappointing parlay for Rock. She having problems with the plug. She got a disappointing parlay with the plug because he can't get the product there quick. So now she running out of products. Stefano is on her ass because he know she ain't got no product. He know that Unique out here doing this shit now. Then Marv had another father-daughter moment with Juke. You know what I'm saying? You been fucking with this pistol again, huh? It's not. Well, I didn't do nothing bad. And he just gave it to her. You know what, honey? I was just thinking you should have this because it's getting rough out here in these streets.
Oh, for a little bit.
Yeah, a little sensitive gangster moment.
Right. Yeah. Tender love.
I still don't want you to be in this life. This is our life. This is my life. You don't have to be in it. You know?
Right.
So, you know, Marv is doing all right, trying to balance, you know, the life and being a father. So, shouts out to Marv, Uncle Marv. B Rilla is in the middle of the mix. He, wanted to set up the robbery of the label owner. He recruited a nigga. They there. They in front of the house. Now it's people in the house. And B-Rilla is on some old Trey from Boys in the Hood shit. Hey, I ain't signed up for that now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The nigga know me. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that, nigga. We here now. This the job. I can't go in with it. You know what I'm saying? And the other nigga like, well, we taking the keys. We ain't leaving no scrub out here with the keys.
That was a smart decision. This B-Rilla would have been gone. Yeah.
So
that was smart.
So they get up in the spot. B-Rilla sees shots going off. Pa, 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 pa. Mm-hmm. He like, oh, shit. Now he's scared. You know what I'm saying? They come out. One nigga is hit. You know what I'm saying? Such. I guess they put down somebody. I think somebody got killed.
Oh, I think both of them. Oh, they definitely put the wife down, I think. Wow. Yeah, I think they both put, yeah.
Right. So we don't know who it is just yet. But then we get to the studio with Lou, B Rilla, and then the label owner who B Rilla thought he was robbing was showing up. So he got questions about he showing up. Nigga, I said he's showing up, nigga. So now B Rilla is in the studio having an existential crisis and shit. Cause now he feel bad. Cause now he learned that they done killed the wrong people. They done hit the wrong motherfucking house. The nigga don't even live there no more. And now he here in my face. Oh man, I done talked all this shit. This nigga gonna know it's me. So he worried. Music sounded good though.
It's about to switch up now. Nigga about to be real careful in them lyrics.
Right, this nigga about to be a gospel rapper. And shit. Right. Sorry, y'all. Go ahead.
Do you think that I got a couple questions about a few things. Do you think that Howie, I think, the label owner, you think he knows yet? You think he's... Nah, you don't think so.
He wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? He was saying
right,
that,
but
and he said they didn't have no leads.
Right. I'm just curious if that's some bullshit.
Nah, I don't think that's bullshit yet.
Okay. All right. Bet. Back to the jukebox Canaan thing. The new generation. It is interesting. It is interesting that you know because that was jukebox's thing. She was like, you know, you gotta listen. You know what I mean? Canaan grown. You got to listen. And that is the, and we'll see it later on, you know what I mean? Where we just see the generational, like, disconnect to where they still see jukebox and Canaan as kids. And they both are telling them, We just like you. We not even just like you. We in cahoots with you. We out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm nice with this gun, not because of the army, but because of my lineage. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Can't you fronting your son all of this shit and you paying for him to stay alive because he's in the game, mm-hmm. but you still see him as your child, and that's a problem. So it's curious how this is gonna to play out. Feel like they leading towards something. We're gonna see what that is. I also, and I've never really done this before, it just came up on my YouTube algorithm. I watched one of these like recap videos, mm-hmm. and they were saying that one of the things they were just talking about, like, you know, just the jukebox formation, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like how she's evolving into jukebox, like how now, you know, now she wearing, I guess they call those the boxer braids with the two little straight backs on the one side. Mm-hmm. Like how she used to have her hair one way. Now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like now she, you know, like I said, her eyes light up when she get that gun, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then she getting a lot more cold. Like that was that one moment at the bar where she pulled Shorty in the bathroom, mm-hmm. and then, you know what I mean, got some head, and then Shorty was like, well, what's your name?
No, she's like, can I get your number?
Can I get your number? Shorty was like, this ain't that, but you have a good night. Some old fly shit. This ain't that. It's fucked up. This ain't that.
This motherfucker all up in the club with the murder weapon.
With the strap, yeah.
With the whole murder weapon, nigga.
Yeah, wildin'. You know what I'm saying? Wildin', yeah.
But she feeling it though. She feeling the power of the strap. Like she was gonna go at it with the white boys. She was gonna be in jail. Fuck him around.
Yeah, she was definitely ready to put that man down. Run time. You know what I mean?
So she out there juking in the club. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying?
At the juke joint.
Yeah. And then Cannon got his whole life fortune stole.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a little flimsy ass storage. Like, we didn't see that coming.
Uh-huh. Snap that little man. Crack, crack. Got him.
And now he looking for OC. Looking for little man. Little man mm-hmm. nowhere to be found.
Nope. On the run. And his little employees are on some bullshit.
I mean, every time he come up in there,
it is flimsy.
This nigga's leadership is terrible. Nigga just come in. What the fuck is OC? This shit tight. It's rough out here, nigga. Watch your back. Bye. Damn. What?
And they just look at each other.
Can you fill us in, joint.
He angry again. Start rolling another joint. Yeah.
No rhyme or reason, man. Just out here fussing.
Yeah. What else do I remember? I mean, it was like some tender moments. I forget. Obviously, we'll get into this. Okay,
Rock. You know, the only thing really left is Rock and her mama.
Yeah, I feel like there's some other shit going on too. What else do we leave? Okay, Parnassa. What happened with Crystal? What happened with Crystal? Anything happened with Crystal?
Who's
Crystal's Kanan's girl?
Oh no! Yeah, Kanan came in there doing a unique routine because the money got stole.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Baby, I love you.
Right. Yeah. Are you on my side? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everybody did something to me. It's been close to me.
Yeah.
We talk about Juke.
Lou Shorty, A&R.
She back in the fall. She ain't went nowhere.
They had their little moment. Yeah. We got the thing. We talked about it with the Stefano and Marvin. Mm-hmm. See what happens there. I guess it's time. Talk about Rock. Rock like, well, then why she ain't asked me to kill her? Right. And they was like, because they knew you'll make her suffer.
Right. Marv had some good points. You know what I'm saying? He's like, shit. Lou had the wholesome points of she might just didn't have it. She tried. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then Marv was like, she did that one thing for your birthday with the dogs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She forgot about that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you notice, when she went in there and mm-hmm. had the conversation with her mama, Mm-hmm. Then she had the tears when she was about to give her the morphine. That shot, it's the same shot as motherfucking Nino Brown about to shoot G Money. With the tears, she got on the black. You know what I'm saying?
With the chain and the turtleneck.
She ain't have on no chain, but just look at the composition of that shot and the composition of the Nino Brown shot. It just reminded me so much of it. I know if there was a message in there or whatever, but I just wanted to put that out there.
All right. Somebody put a side to side together. Conversationalist. Somebody throw a side to side together. Hit us up. Got mobilized some people. So she gave her the shot. Put on her way. They you know, said that they loved each other. Seems like they patched it up or there's some closure there. You know what I mean? What else happened? Anything else happened? Was that that was it? That was the last.
I mean, motherfucker, Unique got a new whip.
What do you got?
The Beamer, big Beamer with the BBSs on it.
Okay, I missed that.
You know, so when he pulled out to the Chinese spot, now it's white. Gold BBSs on it. When he pulled up, like when he came in there, like, I want the special sauce. Yeah, like, no
ain't
special.
Got no more special sauce.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? The nigga sitting there, the special sauce across the street. And then Unique pulled up. He was in the Beamer.
Right. Oh, there's one thing that we forgot. And I'm curious. It felt like it was shoehorned in. But speaking of driving in the whip, Kanan's driving down the block. He sees his mom's paying the cops off. And then that makes him think that she paid the cops to kill Famous.
Right. Well, that's the part with these, listen to the young people. They be coming up with some weird ass schemes, but go ahead.
Yeah, so that's my thing. Do you think he's overreacting and bugging out and off base? Or do you think that they tried to shoehorn a plot point in there kind of sloppily? Because what was she paying the cops for? It's just
we don't know.
Ass.
We don't know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? It just fits the narrative of him believing she killed Famous based off of the...
And I thought that nigga... Yeah, go ahead.
Based off the scheme that him and Juke concocted.
And I thought he was going to crash. Because the motherfucker was so distracted in that drive, like the way he was looking, like this nigga was all the way out the side window looking like a motherfucker. I thought he was going to crash the whip, but yeah, at that moment in time, he seen the envelope go from Brock to the cop. Mm-hmm. And he jumped to the conclusion that,
she killed Famous. She had Famous. Famous killed.
Yeah, man. So we'll see.
Brock taking a lot of motherfucking accusations.
She been heavy as the head. But you know what? I like that one moment in the dining room when they had that whole summit. I'll tell you one thing. For Kanan to be as mad at Rock as he is, he still be showing up for the meetings. You know what I'm saying? He's like a disgruntled employee. He need work, but he still be there. He still be there talking shit and all of that. But dude, she shot that motherfucker a look that was so funny. Like, I know this nigga ain't talking. And it kind of went in on him. Nigga, you alive because I paid for you to still be alive. What are you fucking talking about? I say this too. It feels like they sparing. Every moment they always great, but I feel like I could have used a little bit more snaps and pop this season. You know what I'm saying? I like when they show up on the screen. They have a whole nother energy. I wouldn't even be mad at a spinoff. You know what I'm saying? I like them motherfuckers. They are hilarious. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's about it. I don't really have no predictions. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Do you think Unique gets killed this season? Do you think Rock gets killed this season?
One of them got to go.
Okay. What about Stefano?
Stefano, he on thin ice. He got to go as well, but, you know, it ain't going to be as important to us.
Yeah, I thought he did good though this episode.
Oh, he did. Man, he's doing his job, like, but he's just still
Tony Danza.
He's still, you know what I'm saying, a dispensable motherfucker.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's a plot point. But yeah, I guess that's it. I feel like I don't think we're missing anything. There it is. All right. Well, shit. Before we get up out of here, let me let y'all know May 22nd, Arlington Draft House, Arlington, Virginia. That is still on sale right now. Also, June 26th through the 28th, Batavia, Illinois, Comedy Vault. Tickets on sale right now, DamianLemon.com. I still got something for Texas. Got something for Texas. I was going to pull the trigger today and let y'all know, but I'm a hold up. But I got something for Texas. June Texas situation. So all my peoples in Texas, you know what I mean? I'll be a little bit more specific coming up. Mm-hmm. But right now, the priority lies right now with old Batavia, Illinois, and Arlington, Virginia. Come out. The show's looking good. I'm feeling good about this hour. I'm having fun up there. And if you in that area, come on out. It is DamianLemon.com. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
I'm about to hang up.